I'm Jim Salzis, WRPR News. A construction crew busily working on the Sustainability Education Center at Rumphel College, scheduled to open this spring. I spoke with Dr. Emma Rainforth, Associate Professor of Environmental Science and the Chair of the President's Climate Commitment Task Force, to get her views on how the center will benefit Rumphel College as well as the community beyond Rumphel.
The Sustainability Education Center is primarily a facility by which faculty can demonstrate some of the technologies available to promote energy savings and energy conservation, which in turn reduces the amount of greenhouse gases that we're responsible for putting into the atmosphere.
Dr. Rainforth, explain the meaning of the term sustainability and why it's important that we achieve sustainability on campus.
Sustainability is the notion that many of the things that we use are a finite resource. So in order to achieve sustainability, we need to recognize that these are finite resources and that we need to use them in such a way that there is going to be enough for future generations to use as well.
How will the center aid Rumphel in becoming the leading college in the state on environmental awareness issues?
In many respects, Rumphel already is a leader. Other colleges do have green buildings, but they're primarily green buildings from an operational standpoint, and they're not built into the curriculum or the community.
I learned from Dr. Michael Edelstein, professor of psychology, that 35 years ago, a similar facility named the Alternative Energy and Environment Center was built, but that original center was leveled to make way for the village dorms.
In some ways, it will have some major advantages. The key thing that we're getting with this new facility is state-of-the-art technology.
Over the long term, what impact will the facility have on our campus as well as in our community?
This is a place where we can actually create all kinds of opportunities for our larger community to really discover and connect and come together and make things happen.
Although an exact date has not been set, Rumphel hopes to open the Sharp Sustainability Education Center near the end of April, so make sure you stop by the center to learn how you can make the Rumphel College campus a better place for the environment. I'm Jim Saltis, WRPR News.
and activism, outreach, all this stuff can occur through that center. So the sky is the limit. And you know what the most exciting thing is that one of the lessons we learned from our first experiment with this beginning in 74 was that when you create the right opportunities in the right place, students come forward and they open up and they are empowered and they make things happen. So it's not my agenda, it's an emergent our agenda that occurs. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to happen here. We're taking the plug out of the bathtub, yeah, and all that, or I guess we're turning the faucet on is a better example, and mm-hmm. all this energy is going to just flow into this place and it's mm-hmm. going to make things happen that I can't begin to imagine, nor do I need to, because it's going to be collective imagination that'll really dictate the future of it, and it's going to be very exciting.
Wow. Now, I understand that this the center is open to the public as well as the student population. Can you talk about some of the seminars and the programs that'll be available to the public?
Well, I can talk about what can be available. Emma will actually be probably directing the agenda, but we have first of all, however, having said that, every institution is recognizing that this is where the gold is, and when there's gold in them, there are hills. There'll be lots of programs happening, but as usual, we'll have gotten there first. And we're going to do some great things. We're going to have a global focus, but we're also going to have a regional focus. And the center will be a place where we can hold programs that support that regional focus, where we can we'll have an army of master's students that we can send out into the world, but we can also pull the people who will be the partners and who will help create the connections and the entry to real-world context for those students to work in, and really move the whole region forward even as we create an educational context for our own students. And that's really what we have always been in a position to do. It's what we've done through the major conferences we've done, the Green Meets Green conference that many of our students remember from just the year before, and we'll be doing some activities like that in the coming years. And some of these will be big activities, and they won't fit in the center, but they'll be centered in the center nonetheless. And some will be, you know, small-scale activities that can actually occur there. We can also do very technical programming. We could offer certifications in a whole range of areas. There's a huge demand right now for people who know how to do, for example, energy audits, and we can do energy audit training. We can do all kinds of technical training in all kinds of areas, and both for our students and for people in the community. Mm-hmm. And in the process of doing that, we can move the kind of green revolution forward.
And finally, what has inspired you to become so active in dealing with environmental issues?
What originally inspired me a long, long time ago, because I just turned 60, so I'm now, a kind of ancient, I'm moving into the geological phase. But that's actually not true. I feel young and spry. But what originally inspired me was that I grew up in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, which is the home of some of the worst natural disasters that have occurred on this continent. And so I grew up in a disaster-prone environment. So I was always very conscious of the kind of fragile nature of our relationship to nature. And lots of people died on my turf, including in 1977 when we had a major flood event. And when I went and videotaped it, which I still have those videos, and interviewed people right afterwards, I came face to face with an event in my home community, which I think could have been prevented, and which also really just underscored the extent to which we're all here by virtue of what occurs in nature, but nature is not free of our own influence, and those influences have been happy and good influences. I also grew up in coal mining country and steel manufacturing country. That's steel making capability is long gone, and that makes an interesting statement in its own right. We don't have any industrial capability left, but I grew up among those blue-collar folks who were doing it. And the coal legacy was everywhere. And you had mountains that were ripped down. When I found the when I saw my father and mother's house after my father died, and I looked at the deed for the first time to that house because I never saw it before. On that deed, it had an exclusion that said that we are not responsible for the fact that this house is sitting on top of a mountain which was completely mined out. And I never realized it, but, you know, the mountain I grew up on was hollow. And that's kind of an interesting thought. And everything was mined out around there. And so you had the scars. Yeah, I grew up in a scarred environment. When I drove to college, when I started out, and when I drove around my community, I saw lots of scars. And so I think that inspired me. And as I matured in college, I came to realize that we have a major responsibility for the earth, and nobody else is going to take that responsibility unless we take it ourselves. And that's where I've been ever since.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for taking the time to meet with me today.
My pleasure, and I look forward not only to seeing you again, but to seeing everybody that's listening out there making important changes happen.
Thanks.